The Last Word on Sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia, think of the possibilities.
And so let's go to the Gaelic football for the weekend to start The Last Word in Sport, because it was a terrific weekend with thrilling finals in Clonus and Croke Park in the Ulster and Leinster Football Championships. So before I talk to Ray Silk, Michael Foley from the Sunday Times sports section, has this been the salvation of the provincial championships? All is well again in the world of Gaelic football and the provincial championships. They're safe for the next few years anyway.
At the risk of being the guy sitting at the back of the room with, you know, pushing his glasses up his nose and going, excuse me one second. I think it's been a brilliant weekend. I mean, I was up in Clonus. The Ulster final was one of the best games of football, Ulster championship games of football I've ever seen. It was absolutely epic. And obviously, look, the scenes in Croke Park and Louth winning, and just the colour and the pageantry and the whole atmosphere was absolutely unbelievable. It's what we want from hurling our football championships every summer. I think whether they're the saving of the provincial championships is another day's work. Like, I think when you boil it down, like, Connacht and Ulster were never in any great problems. They've always been competitive. So what we're really hanging that particular argument on is Meath beating Dublin. That's essentially it, and getting to a Leinster final. Munster hasn't changed whatsoever. I think what's given the provincial championships a real chance is the new rules. I think that's what's really adding something to this. I kind of describe the rules a little bit when you're watching these games now. It's like the way like water can kind of break down anything. Well, these rules are kind of soaking into games like water. And they're breaking down the most impermeable parts of the game that you thought were impossible to break down. The tactics, the conservatism, the defensiveness. Like the Ulster final the other night, first 15 minutes were very cagey, very cautious, very typical. But then there was like a two-pointer. There was a bit of a slight swing. And suddenly the game just careered off in a different direction. And that's what's giving, I suppose, the provincial championships a chance here, is that all the teams, they're not sitting in now. Even the underdogs see that there's value in getting out and pushing on and going for it, because the rules are giving them a chance.
Yeah, so basically, the two-pointer, the most important bit, gives a team that's well behind a chance to reel in a team that otherwise, in previous years, would have been over the hills and far away.
Essentially, yeah. And I mean, you've seen it in a few different games. For example, Leitrim played Mayo in the Connacht Championship. And I mean, Leitrim are going through a very, very difficult time at the moment. But for 45, 50 minutes, they gave them a really, really good game. And part of that was because they were able to keep in touch with them because of the rules. It was the same with Antrim and Armagh in the first round in Ulster. Antrim put in a terrific performance. Very, 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 very evident between Cork and Kerry. Cork really relied on two-pointers to stay in touch with Kerry when at times the game was gone from them. And in other years, it would have turned into a cakewalk. And indeed, there's been a couple of matches this year that you look at them and you go, well, if this was last year, these would have been just shut down by whoever was in front by 5 or 6 points at the time and we're done. Whereas now, like, the two-pointers, and people, and there is an argument, and it's a reasonable argument to make, that awarding inter-county players 2 points for kicking a ball over the bar from 40 metres is too much. Now, that's a kind of a separate argument to me in a way, but the overall effect of the two-pointers is much more than just 2 points. They're momentum shifters. They're adding pace to the game. You know, they're kind of compelling teams to come out of their shells, if you like, and really go for it. So, like, the overarching impact has been terrific. And I think that is what gives the provincial championships a really strong chance. Because I think we do want them to work. Even the likes of me, I've argued for quite a while now that they need to be at least moved to a different part of the season where they don't have such an impact on the All-Ireland Championship. But we all want them to work, because as a format, they do go to the root of what makes the GA strong, which is local rivalry. And so if the provincial championships can be made strong and competitive, well then, the competition and the game itself is strong.
Now, Ray Silk, a former All-Ireland winning captain with Galway, with us as usual. Ray, I suppose it was also the three-pointers, the goals, that kept Louth in the Leinster final yesterday, wasn't it? Because if they hadn't had those three goals in the first half, I don't think two-pointers would have done them much good in the second half.
No, and they all came at key times. The captain, Mulroy, nailed the penalty very well. And then Burns, but I thought Craig Lennon's goal, not only the goal, but the nature of it, like, he's a fairly rapid man, that man, when he goes, like a current all-star, obviously, like, but he came through, and from what I could see in the TV, Matt, he knew exactly what he was doing. He looked up and he pinged it into the corner of the net. Now, that gives just phenomenal belief and self-belief to the team. But after 62 minutes, Matt, it was Meath 121, which is 24-20. And credit to Louth that they pushed on there. I think Mulroy got a two-pointer there as well. But the, I was a failure final, actually, Mike Cullen. And some, a slightly different one, just for your listeners off the top. Mike Cullen drew with Salt Hill. But even after extra time, so they nominated both teams to be winners, which is slightly unusual, but I was listening to Marty Morrissey on the way home then, just getting the end of the game, and I thought he was going to come to the radio. He was so excited. Now, he's 66,000 people as well, and I was at that game, the famous game in 2010, when Sheridan got the goal he shouldn't have got and all that kind of stuff. So, like, the atmosphere looked absolutely electric, and I think Michael's 100% right. The rules have just changed the dynamic. And now when we go training, I have two lads, Matt, they're 16 or 15, they want to go down and they want to practice kicking, can they manage a two-pointer? And those two-pointers, a goal is three, but one two-pointer and you're back in the game. And I think one other huge part, and just to romance of it, I had a look there at the Irish Times, the beautiful photo of Michael Murphy just sitting there. And to be able to come back at 35, would Murphy have come back if the rules hadn't changed? My contention is that he would not. And the big story for me at the weekend was that, that Donegal, who weren't too far away last year at all from getting an All-Ireland final, they to me look like a team maybe best equipped to maximise themselves on these rules. And it was Michael's right. I watched the whole thing on Saturday. It was stunning football. And it was slightly different football in Ulster. Leinster looked far more free-flowing and exciting. Ulster was cagey, and yet it was fantastic. But to me, Armagh and Donegal, correctly and understandably, were playing at a higher level than Meath and Louth.
Yeah, understood. But actually, just thinking, though, isn't there a strange irony that we're talking about the benefit of 2 points and going for those long shots, and yet we've getting a good share of goals in the Championship as well. 3 for Louth. Donegal got their 2 goals, which were decisive. If you look at all the goals, say for example, the Kerry got against Cork as well. So that while you're putting players outside the 45 or the 40 metre line to take shots, there's still enough space inside for players to run into. And we've seen some great goals as a result of it.
Yeah, well, players can create the overlap. So the 6 men, the 7 people up the far side, shall we say, so there is more space. And what's really obvious to me, and I'm glad I'm not playing anymore, the really pacey player. Like Oisin Conaghy was fantastic for Armagh. Lennon is an absolute ripper. And then the Donegal subs came on and made a big, big difference as well. So, yeah, look, if anyone breaches the defence now, if you can get in past that first defender, create an overlap, it's in the back of the net before you know who you are. But one thing as well, Matt, no team is going to win All-Ireland, I think, unless they've got 20 or 24 players, because the fatigue rate now in the game is absolutely huge, and I'm sure Michael would agree with that.
Yes, it is a game now. You have to use the full squad, isn't it? And have a good quality squad, Michael, if you're going to go on to win a provincial title or an All-Ireland.
Oh, absolutely. It was probably ever thus as well. I mean, you know, you always needed a good bench to win All-Irelands, but certainly more so than ever. I mean, on Saturday night in Clonus, Donegal, there was a point in extra time. They just looked absolutely out on their feet, but they just kept rotating the bench. They kept bringing guys in and out. And that speaks again to the faith that they have in the guys that they're bringing in and out. That if it's not quite working, we'll just work it around again. We'll just keep going. And they just about, I mean, Armagh got a good bit. I mean, Stephen Campbell came on. He was outstanding for Armagh. Really, really good. They got Donegal probably got marginally more off their bench, and that was, well, it was decisive. Niall O'Donnell was the one who kicked the points off the bench that won the game. But yeah, like, if you look, it's been a great spectacle. I mean, the and, you know, again, you know, people kind of wonder sometimes about the shifting of the calendar and so on. I mean, it was a weekend in May. I was up in Clonus. The atmosphere around the town, as always for an Ulster final, was the exact same. It didn't matter whether it was July or May. The colour, the whole whack, sellout crowd, whole thing was electric. And again, it looked the same in Croke Park. I mean, you know, it's what the GA wanted. And I do think, as I said at the top, I do think a lot of this is down to the injection of energy that the rules are giving it.
Okay, can I ask
you, Don? It's what's driving everything.
In the time we have, Michael, what about, though, I mean, and I deliberately left it till towards the end, but this sort of the post-match shenanigans and Clonus, what will have to be done about that?
Well, look, clearly, what happened was completely out of order. As I was there, it was kind of one of those final whistle jobs. So you kind of looked up and you just saw something. But obviously, look, there's plenty of footage about the place now. No doubt there'll be an investigation. I think the culprits are fairly clearly identifiable in the footage that's around. So look, there'll probably be suspensions. What impact it'll have on things will be interesting, because it's just that moment in the season, pivoting from provincial to All-Ireland, where you don't want that kind of disruption costing you a player or more, or two players or whatever it might be, going in again, as Ray said there, like when you need everybody from here on, because it's going to get really intense, particularly for those teams as well coming from Ulster who've already had a very intense season and they're now turning into something else. You don't want to be losing players, but look, something will have to be done, because you know, it was obviously something you don't want to see. And on top of that as well, I mean, one of the complicating factors here again was a pitch invasion. I mean, the brawl was occurring while people were coming in and you know, crowding around, and you know, yeah, the Gardaí obviously had to get involved, and it wasn't just stewards. You actually had to get Gardaí involved, which is again something for the GAA to consider.
Ray Silk, what do you think should be done about it?
Firstly, I think the rules, and I'll go to that very quickly. I think the rules are a huge positive match for the discipline within the game. It has given autonomy and power to the referee that he hadn't heretofore. So if you say something smart, and I've spoken to some of the goal referees, if I say you only FFF, bang, 50 yards up the field, and they'll whisk you off, and even if management do it. So it was disappointing, because I thought Brendan Cawley had done a really, really good job on the whole thing. I would classify it as stupidity and people running over to the other bench, but it's unacceptable. If the culprits can be identified, they need to be suspended. It's that simple.
Okay. Actually, Michael, if you have a comment to offer, what do you reckon of the latest developments in relation to the Camogie situation and the matches that were called off over the weekend?
Well, look, it's a sorrowful situation. I mean, it's obviously, I think anybody who's cast any eye on it, it's clearly something that shouldn't be happening. It's an issue that should have been resolved a long, long time ago. Unfortunately, the Camogie Association over a long number of years seems to have an issue with engaging with players when issues do arise. This isn't the first time that players have had to push back against a decision by the Camogie Association.
So is this a case where administrators rule, and the administrators in this case are, shall we say, a pretty conservative bunch?
Well, it just appears to be whatever it is. And I mean, it has to be said, like, the administration changes, so it's not necessarily the same people making the same decisions all the time.
So it's a cultural thing, so is it, amongst administrators in the sport?
As far as I can read it, there just seems to be, and I'm talking going back not just the last couple of weeks, but there just seems to be some kind of a disconnect between what the players want or at least see as progressive and what they need in their game, and what the administrators are willing to give in certain situations. So, like, it's kind of part of a bigger piece, obviously. And look, there's a special Congress on the 22nd of May. The fact that the matches were called off are really unfair on the players. I mean, really, really unfair on the players in terms of their preparation and now trying to figure themselves out. I mean, do they even know when the games will be replayed, you know, or what will actually be played, I should say. Signs on that scorts are going to be a thing of the past in 11 days' time. If they're not, I think the Camogie Association will absolutely reap a whirlwind.
Thank you very much, Michael Foley, sports writer for Sunday. Yes, Ray, I was just leaving Michael go, but I do want to hear your take on it. Yes.
I thought I was being let go there as well. Very quick one. I'm reading a fantastic book that was bought for me, and I'm really enjoying it. I don't know if you've ever read it, but if the readers see it, it's Emma Ryan, and it's called The Grass Ceiling.
Yes.
On being a woman in sport, and I think it won a book. But I coached ladies in my own club and the boys, but like, it's just a fantastic perspective of the female. So she plays in the under-14 hurling team and the under-14 camogie team, but why does she love her togs in one and the skirt in the other? To me, it's absolute madness. And we had a lot of hassle ourselves bringing in coloured shorts for our own club there. It took us 2 or 3 years when it should have been just one AGM and get the job done. A lot of the people at the top table, Matt, they're conservative, as you said, and they're from a different era to a certain degree. You know, like, things have changed so much now. And to be compelling, intelligent, qualified, intelligent, you know, just fantastic young females, that they have to wear this skirt, which is from a different era, I think is absolutely unacceptable.
But very briefly, Ray,
it changed, like, it should change.
It is, yeah. But it's something that probably we need to have a wider conversation on at another date. But this may be one of the reasons, one of a number of reasons, why an awful lot of teenage girls and young women decide to give up competitive sport.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I was only watching a little clip there from one of the Kilkerran from Burn girls, who, you know, who's won four All-Irelands, and she said sometimes the pressures that people put on, it is a factor. It's not the only factor, but to compel someone that they have to wear a skirt when they don't feel comfortable wearing it, it's the same as wearing white shorts. Get rid of any barrier that stops young girls or boys playing sport, because surely to God, that's what the core of the GAA and the Camogie Association should be.
Thank you very much, Ray Silk.
The last word on sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia. Think of the possibilities.